wonderful people at our association. And this is Mike Krepel. He recently took on the role as our director for our disaster relief ministry at the association. If you have any interest whatsoever in being involved in our community, in our state, across our nation, in the area of disaster relief, Mike's your guy, all right? And he has a heart for it, a passion for helping people, and I'd love for you to meet him. Now, a warning, he is a crazy Cajun, all right, from Southeast Louisiana, right? And you'll figure that out pretty quick in talking to him. But Mike is a dear brother, and we make good teammates, I hope. I hope he sees it from that perspective. And so thank you, Mike, for being here with me today. He also serves at Bear Cove as our greeting team, welcome team director, our safety team director. That's why I brought him, not because of any fear here of what y'all might do to me, but he's just a good man. So I'm thankful Mike is here today with us. Thank you, Christy and Rodney, wherever you are. There you are over there. The worship here is just God-centered, and you don't get that everywhere you go. You know, there's these popular trends and such, and that's okay. You know, the Lord receives it all, but just grateful for y'all's ministry. Thank you so much. Let's pray first, and then we'll get rolling, okay? Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to gather together as a community of faith here at Laurel Creek. Lord, we pray for Brother Roy. We pray for rest and renewal for him and blessing with time with his dad and other family members. And Lord, just bless this church. Continue to bless this church. It's obvious you are blessing this church. Just continue to show your favor on them. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for all that. Speak to us this morning, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, through your precious word. Lord, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. The 1700s Moravian bishop Nicholas Zinzendorf, how would you like to be a Zinzendorf? Okay. Considered the real father of missions, said this: missions, after all, is simply this. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. Every heart without Christ is a mission field. So, which takes priority? The task or the people? The answer is both. Mission first, people always. Anybody heard that phrase before? Mission first? Some military folks in here. It originated as a military motto and phrase attributed to Vietnam War vet and Air Force Master Sergeant Kenneth Kelly. Kelly understood that balancing the needs of the mission, be it military, business, sports, whatever, with the needs of the people is essential for success. You can't just be task-oriented or just people-oriented. It takes both. It takes both to be focused. Mission first, people always, is something else. It's the title of today's message as we look at one of the most well-known passages found in Scripture and the very heart, I believe, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, as we look together at what's commonly referred to as the Great Commission. Now, a commission is a primary task that is given by the Lord Jesus himself to his disciples prior to his ascension back into heaven and to all his followers throughout all generations. It wasn't just intended for those few disciples, but for every believer. It is a call. It is a call to the church that we need not only read from the Scriptures, not only listen to, not only agree with, but also a call that we all must obey. Amen? And why is that? And why is that? Because the beauty of this text is that you and I are both a part of this story. All of us, every single one of us, has been commissioned. That is, assigned to the mission to be sent out by Jesus to boldly proclaim his life, his death, his resurrection, and his soon coming return. We're to take that all over this planet to every human being. Based on this text, I'm drawing from the exposition of Dr. David Platt, our former IMB director, as I share with you three imperatives, three absolutes, three imperatives or absolutes that are to be not only considered, but applied to the life of every follower of Jesus. Let's read the entire passage, and then we'll go verse by verse as we observe these three imperatives drawn from hearing and reading Jesus' commission to us, his followers. So, if you are able, would you please stand in honor of reading the scriptures? Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Laurel Creek, this is God's word. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You may be seated. Miss Christie, I know you're getting all settled in there with the scriptures. Can you find hymn 82? Emmanuel? Yeah. And let's sing this. Look up in your hymnals, hymn number 82. I'm going to be one of those odd preachers that likes to sing a song here, but I want you to join me, okay? We just come through the Christmas holiday. You know, we're still, I think, in that season. And sometimes we attach a romanticism, don't we, to Christmas. Whether it's the jolly old elf himself or just the trappings and the food and the lights and the celebrations and all that. But I think what continues to strike me about Christmas is the name Emmanuel. God with us. Let's sing.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called God with us, revealed in us, his name is called Emmanuel.
How many have heard that before? We need to sing that again.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel,
God with us,
God with us, revealed in us, his name is called Emmanuel.
Jesus has called us to a task. Thank you, Christy. a mission, yes, but the mission is all about people, His creation, His image bearers, and every one of them matters, even the bad guys, because He desires for everyone to know and worship Him. So that brings us to our first imperative. We will believe in and recognize the authority of Christ. We will believe in and recognize the authority of Christ. As Jesus gathers His disciples prior to His ascension to heaven, He doesn't start with a command to His followers. No, He starts with a claim. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now understand that this authority given to Jesus is the basis for everything else that follows in this text. You see, His authority over heaven and earth means that Jesus is not just the personal Lord and Savior over us. We often speak of the moment of our conversion by saying, I decided to make Jesus my personal Lord and Savior. Now, while there is some truth to that statement, we should be careful not to miss the key point of Christ's lordship. The truth is, you and I don't decide to make Jesus Lord. Why is that? Because He already is Lord. Regardless of what we, man, thinks of Him, by His death on the cross and His resurrection, Jesus is now exalted at the Father's right hand as the Lord and King over all creation, all of which is true regardless of what you or I might think or decide. This is confirmed by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11. For this reason, God highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's a guarantee. The question is, can and will you and I confess Jesus as Lord this day, or will we confess when it's already too late? Scripture says we're all going to confess it. We're all going to bow. We're all going to recognize His lordship. Will it be true for you personally? And while Jesus certainly saves, loves, and rules over us personally, He also is absolutely the universal Lord and Savior over all. And understand, this is not saying that all will be saved, but instead, anyone who is saved must come to God through Jesus Christ. There is no other option for a person to be saved. This authority that Jesus possesses, declared through the lordship of Jesus, means that our obedience to the Great Commission isn't about a man-made program, nor is it our own willpower that leads us to go. No, Jesus' authority, what? It compels us. That, you know, some words almost define themselves. You hear that word compel, and you're just like, it pushes you, right? We are compelled. We are thrust forward. It compels us to go. For missions only make sense if He, Christ, has all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, however, we do not go reluctantly, as if we're just being forced to follow just any king. No. His worth is the fuel of our mission. Amen? In other words, we go because Jesus is worthy of the worship of every person on the planet. Our Savior deserves all the praise, not man. Our Savior deserves all the praise so that we long to hear, listen, we long to hear all people confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why you've given almost $15,000 to Lottie Moon. That's why our churches and our association are setting records, new records every year for Lottie Moon, for the International Mission Offering, for the Golden Offering, our state offering, for the North American, Annie Armstrong, North American Mission Offering. It's because we believe that, don't we? We believe that every man, woman, boy, and girl deserves the hearing of the gospel. Now, whether they choose that is up to a sovereign God and their choosing of that. But everyone deserves to hear the gospel. In fact, his worship should be the goal of our mission. We as Christ followers should live for the day. We should live for the day when every tribe and tongue and people and nation gather around the throne of our God to give him the glory that he is due. And this leads us to our second imperative. We will obey the command of Christ. We will obey the command of Christ. 19 and 20a. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Church, this commission, this call, it's not a comfortable call. Inviting most Christians to come to be baptized and then sit in one location, sometimes including the same seat. And yet, that is exactly what we are tempted to turn our mission into. And if not careful, this is all our Christianity consists of. We may progressively come to a worship service, begin to participate in the church, eventually serving in the church, and amazingly, even financially support the church. All the while, failing to make disciples. Churches are filled with people who have been Christians for 5, 10, 15, 50 years, who have never led someone, anyone, to be a disciple of Christ, who makes disciples. The problem is that many Christians, and I'm not talking about Laurel Creek this morning, you understand that. The problem is that many Christians believe that church activity itself defines the Christian life. When really such activity may have absolutely no effect in fulfilling the supreme task of winning a man or woman to Jesus Christ and then helping them to reproduce spiritually as a disciple maker. So, if Matthew 28, 19 and 20 was not a comfortable call for most Christians, then what is it? It is this. It is a costly command. It is a costly command, directing every Christian to go baptize and make disciples of all nations. Folks, this has been the plan. This has been God's plan from the beginning. There's one imperative verb in Matthew 28, 19, and that is make disciples. Surrounded by three participles: going, baptizing, and teaching. Based on this verse, we find four non-negotiable components of disciple making. Now, as I share this, understand, these are pretty general components of what it means to be a disciple. If you've ever wondered, well, I'm supposed to make disciples, what is a disciple? What is disciple making? I've tried to simplify it as much as I can in these next four components. First, we share the Word of God. We share the Word of God, which is absolutely foundational to making disciples. We speak about the gospel as we live according to the gospel. Do you see the importance of both? What's the adage? Talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. We speak about the gospel as we live according to the gospel. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us so that we can bear witness to the gospel to the very ends of the earth. But we cannot engage the world if we have not engaged God's word. You must internalize the truth of God. You must internalize it so that you can live it and share it. You cannot share what you don't possess. Not with any integrity, not with any sincerity. People will read, especially Middle Tennessee, they'll read right through that. They'll look right through that book cover, right? You must internalize truth so that you can live it and share it. Hear this. You must get into the Word until the Word gets into you. I'm working with a group of young men at Bear Cove once a week. We've taken a break for the holidays, but one thing I challenged them, and we're reading through a book of the Bible and just portions, and I've asked them, you know, read the passage, ask what it says, how does it apply to me, and what do I do with it? And what am I trying to do there? I'm trying to get them to internalize the Word of God so they're not just living by myths, by traditions. You know, church operates that way a lot. There's God's Word, and then there's what we do, right? What we've always done. We've always done it this way. Well, if it doesn't go with this, maybe you ought to stop doing it. Maybe you ought to reevaluate what you're doing. So we've got to internalize the Word of God. Secondly, we show the Word of God. We show the Word of God. When someone turns from sin to Christ, typically we baptize them, because baptism symbolizes identification with the person of Christ, excuse me, and inclusion in the body of Christ. You see the importance of that? So many people, I believe, leave the church because they've never identified with the church. They've never really become a part of the community of faith. They don't see it as a community of faith. They see it as a social club to attend once a week, to see my friends, have a nice snack, refreshment, lunch. It's not that one has to be baptized to become a Christian. We have enough churches and denominations that teach that in our area, don't we? And that's just works-based salvation. That's all it is. But once you are a Christian, the public declaration of faith in Christ should involve baptism. And once baptized, showing the word involves sharing life together as a member of the local church. Disciple-making is not simply what happens in a classroom setting for an hour or so each week. It's what happens when we walk through life together as a community of faith, modeling for one another how to follow Christ. We show one another how to pray. You ever listen to prayer patterns when people pray out loud, how they've picked up on somebody else's prayer pattern? But that's okay. They're learning. They're learning how to pray, how to study God's word, how to grow in Christ, how to lead others to Christ. It's at the core of who we should be as Christ followers. Third, as disciple makers, we teach the word. We teach the word, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, we're not just to receive the word of God, we're to broadcast the word of God. God has certainly gifted some in the church to teach or preach. However, every disciple of Jesus should saturate their lives and therefore their words with God's word. Amen? Our daily conversations ought to be seasoned with the words and the principles and the truth of God from His scriptures. As we teach people all that Christ has taught us and is teaching us. And fourth and finally, making disciples means that we serve the world. We serve the world. Jesus speaks of making disciples of all nations. Don't get locked in to the idea of boundaries on a map. This phrase, all nations, instead of countries as we think of them, refers to tribes, to families, to clans, and peoples, or what we call people groups today. These groups share sometimes a similar language, a similar heritage, and cultural characteristics. And this could be in the same, if you look at the map and you see the boundary of the nation, there could be hundreds, thousands of people groups within those lines. You with me? That's when you see the word nations in Scripture, it's talking about these people groups. These groups, as I said, share these characteristics. So this is more than just a general command to make disciples among every people group in the world. Of the more than 11,000 known people groups throughout the world, more than 6,000 of these groups have still not been reached with the gospel. If we are to obey the Great Commission from Jesus, it requires intentionality and going after these 6,000 groups. Literally billions of people across the world are captured by false religion. And approximately 2 billion have never even had the chance to hear the gospel. According to Scripture, they are all on a road that leads to an eternal hell. Yet as believers, we know that Jesus is Lord and that He has died on the cross for our sins and risen from the grave. The Spirit of God has opened our hearts to see and to believe. He has saved us to know God and to enjoy Him. And very soon we will be with Him forever in heaven. And I believe that day is drawing fast. How about you? But while we're here, while we're still here, God has given us His Spirit for one purpose. Under His authority and by His command, we are to reach the world with the gospel. And this brings us to our final imperative. We will depend on the presence of Christ. We will depend on the presence of Christ. And surely, I am with you, what? Always, to the very end of the age. These final words of Matthew's gospel are both comforting and encouraging, and they take us back to some of the initial words in Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, which we just sang. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You and I need to be encouraged. For this mission that Jesus has called us to, it's not based on who we are or what we can do. This mission is secured and assured based upon Christ's presence, His authority for sure, but also His presence with us through His Spirit. It doesn't matter how gifted a church is or how blessed it is materially. For the people of God can do nothing apart from the power of God's Holy Spirit. However, when the Holy Spirit works among God's people, that church, no matter its size, no matter what the bank account may say, that church can shake the nations for God's glory. You see, rather than being based on what we can do, the mission is based upon who Jesus is and what He is able to do in and through our lives. Oh, how we need to put aside our small dreams and our silly, worldly ambitions and pursuits. Instead, we ought and we need to give Christ a blank check with our lives and then see what He does and where He leads in and through us. God may not call you to South Asia. God may not call you to Europe. God may not call you to Central or South America or to Canada. He may not call you to go to Colorado, though they need Jesus. God may want you to be a missionary with your neighbors. The key is not you selecting where you go. It's saying, Captain, where do you want me to go? What's your assignment? And I'll do whatever you say. I'll go wherever you go. I'll do whatever you say do. Not in my own strength, not in my own power, not in my own ability, but through you. We will depend upon the presence of Christ. Together we can experience not only His presence with us, but His power in us. We are earthen vessels, right? Paul talks about us being earthen vessels, but he says there's this treasure that God has placed in these clay vessels. These breakable, broken vessels. God has placed His Spirit in us. Laurel Creek, don't you want to be part of something that is beyond you and me? Something that exceeds and extends beyond our own feeble human efforts? Why would we want to be preoccupied with just programs and practices that we can manage on our own? Do you know that a majority of what we often do in church, we could do without God? Scary. Much of what we do organizationally, we could do it without God. Now, I will tell you, usually you can tell it in those churches. You can. Why would we want to be preoccupied with that? No. We need to recognize and live in the reality of our complete desperation for God. If the power of Jesus, and I'm talking about the power that raised a dead Jesus to be a victorious King Jesus, would be your greatest desire, then there is no limit to what Laurel Creek can accomplish for the glory of God. If you and your brothers and sisters would operate under the authority of Jesus Christ, fully obeying His command to make disciples, and walk not in your own strength and your own ability, but in the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit living in you, well, I'm not sure that our minds can really grasp and get around of what God wants to and could accomplish in and through you as His church. Yes, we know that the obedience to the Great Commission will not be easy. and it will be costly. It's going to cost you time. It may cost you some relationships. I didn't say friendships. I said relationships. Real friends would believe. But I believe we also know that it will be worth it. One day soon, and I believe very soon, Jesus is returning. And his reward will be so much greater than any cost we might have to pay. I guess my question to each of us this morning is this. If Jesus himself is our soon and coming great reward, do we have any right to keep him to ourselves? I love this fellowship. I love being with y'all. But there's a lot of folks without Christ in this county, in our area. Or are you and I ready to spend the rest of our lives winning the lost and making disciples who make disciples of all nations, every tribe, people, and tongue? Because it is the mission, it is the mission that Jesus has given to every one of us in this room, in this church. In his church, every Christ follower. Let me share it with you one more time. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Van Buren County, Tennessee, the U.S., all then the uttermost parts of the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Mission first, people always. Pray with me. The invitation this morning, as Christy comes to play and Rodney leads us, as God has spoken to you, hopefully, and we need to respond when he speaks to us. You with me on that? We need to respond to when he speaks. First and foremost, is Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? If you're here today and that is not true for you, guess what? Today is the day of salvation. Today, God has given you an invitation to yield your life and yield control of your life to his control, to his authority, for him to be your personal Lord and Savior. Settle that today. Secondly, have you been a Great Commission Christian? Making disciples who make disciples? Maybe you need to make a fresh commitment to being that for the Lord. Thirdly, if you're visiting today, or you've been visiting for a while, and God is leading you to join the Laurel Creek Faith family and be a part of this community of faith and the grand mission that he has called them to, we'll gladly receive you this morning. Whatever your decision, now is the time to respond to God's call. As we sing, Brother Rodney, Christy. And I'll be down here to receive or pray with anybody.